Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Kolder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and living in this world that is now in an avalanche of lies and deceit. We're going to look at some more of the lies and deceit, and then we're going to see how we come out from underneath these lies and deceits. So let's pick it up right where we left off. Let's come here to Jeremiah, the 7th chapter, and let's see. Now, we're at the same point that it was with the house of Judah during the days of Jeremiah. And they had so many sins, they would come to the temple. What do we say today? Oh, God bless America. Well, is he going to bless sin? Oh, we're good people. Well, why do we have so much crime? Why do we have so much illicit sex? Why do we have so much perversion? Why do we have murders in our streets, rapes in our streets? Why are we drugging ourselves out with all the drugs? You can't come and say, well, we're good people. This is God's people, and God bless America. Because that's no different than what the Jews were doing when they came to the temple. And as we saw last time, when Jesus confronted the religious leaders at the temple, the chief priest and the scribe and all of those who were there, he said, you are of your father the devil. All right? Let's see what it was with the people back here in Jeremiah's time. And remember, Jeremiah was prophet for 40 years until the collapse of the Jews. And they were carried off into captivity into Babylon. The city was burned. The temple was destroyed. And nothing was left because of their sins. That is a historic fact. We're to learn from it.
The Babylonians round up the Israelite priests, prophets, and scribes and drag them in chains to Babylon.
So let's learn the lesson. Here's what they did back in Jeremiah's time at the temple. The people would go there thinking, well, if we go there, everything's going to be fine because that's God's temple. Well, a lot of people think, well, because we go to church. Or because, oh, I believe in God, but you don't obey him. Oh, I'm a good person, but you don't live by God's word. So here it is, Jeremiah 7. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house. Right there where everybody comes in, just like where we left off where Jesus was. And proclaim there this word and say, these are the words of God to all at any time, any place who think that they're coming to God on their terms. Because God said we can only come to him on his term. And God says that we have to repent. Hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings. Stop sinning. You know what sin is? Sin is the transgression of the law. And a more definitive definition of it is, sin is lawlessness. How much lawlessness do you let in your life? Not only that you practice, but that you let into your heart and your mind by the digital means, by television, by the internet, by the smartphone, and all of that can pour into your mind unrestricted. Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. And he warned them over and over and over and over again. If you didn't repent, you are going into captivity. Well, he tells America today, if you don't repent, the enemy's going to take over. And the foreign countries are going to rule. And you will be in slave camps. And you will be just like it was during World War II. because of our sins. He says, do not trust in lying words. Didn't we talk about all the avalanche of lies? Didn't we talk about how it's just flooding everything everywhere? All right. And here is the lie. Notice, quoting truth incorrectly. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. You can't say, well, we're God's people. We're good people. Listen, you have the same evil carnal mind as everybody else. And unless you repent, repent of sin. And the way you repent of sin is that you keep the laws of God and you come to worship Him, His way, and not your way. No, God says again, if you will thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you will thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, do not shed innocent blood in this place, nor walk after other gods to your hurt. Look at that phrase, innocent blood. What innocent blood is hanging over all America and 62 million women? Now, there are men who agree with abortion, but it's the woman who gets it. And life is human life beginning at conception. And you wouldn't be here if you weren't full-term born and your parents took care of you. Right? 62 million abortions. Innocent blood of the most innocent of all, supposed to be in the safety of its mother's womb to grow and develop as God fashions it through the genes and chromosomes. Because at the instant of conception, the spirit of man is given to that new life. Now that's the innocent blood that is hanging over America. You can add in all the other sins. They are all so gigantic. They're all so terrible. And all the crimes that come with it. Because when people leave God, these things come upon them. Thoroughly amend your ways. Do not walk after other gods. He says, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. How do you think we came to have such a wonderful nation as this? Constantly we hear, the greatest nation on earth. God bless America. Well, if you really believe it, why don't you keep His commandment? If you really believe it, why don't you believe in the true Jesus? Because every time you go to church on Sunday, that's a fake Jesus. That is a counterfeit Jesus. Lying word, and you trust in it. He says, verse 8, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Sin never profits. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, to walk after other gods, whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house? Same thing that it was with Jesus that we saw last time, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do these things, all these abominations. Huh. Is it not an abomination in committing sexual perversion, in killing the unborn, right in its mother's womb? Is it not a perversion to reject the Sabbath of God and keep Sunday? Is it not a perversion to say that once you have the grace of God, oh, everything is fine, and you just be good people and everything is right? Huh? There's a whole lot more to it than that. Here's what God says. When God looks down at all these Sunday-keeping churches, where they say, oh, we're here as Christians, Had this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, says the Lord. Then he told them, you want to learn a lesson? Well, the tabernacle stood out there for 372 years in Shiloh, and then everything came apart when they went after other gods, when they rejected God. Then he destroyed Jerusalem in 586 B.C. Now, what do you think he's going to do to us? How many enemies are here? What's going to happen with the 10 to 12 million aliens that have come in to the country?
They're waving the guns around.
Correct.
Waving guns and flashing gang signs on this video. The NYPD says these are suspected members of the ruthless Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua, which has been infiltrating the U.S. for the last 2 years. NYPD Assistant Chief of Detectives Jason Savino telling me it is believed this video was made while the gang members were in Ecuador, and its purpose is to recruit new members.
Then, when you fast forward, you see the same individuals where? In Times Square. So that's our concern.
The NYPD says Tren de Aragua has been making it over the border with the migrant influx and is getting established in New York.
What we do see is they are trying to grow.
The gang has gone from petty crimes like shoplifting and stealing cell phones and jewelry to all-out shootouts in the streets.
Now let me show you a prophecy that's 3,500 years old in the book of Deuteronomy. Now this is quite a thing because we see it happening exactly today in the same way. Now, this is quite a prophecy, because we are the descendants of the 10 tribes of Israel. You need our book, America and Britain, Their Biblical Origin and Their Prophetic Destiny. Now, God says that all of the things that he gave in Deuteronomy 28 would follow Israel wherever they went. Now, let's come to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 43. I want you to look around where you are, and especially in those states where there are all the immigrants. What's going to happen? Huh? Have you noticed what has happened recently? Burning of American flags. Protest, burning and looting. What do you think's going to happen with the election coming up? Remember 2020? Let's read it, verse 43. The stranger dwelling among you, is that not what an illegal alien is? Shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. Right in front of our very eyes today. In the UK, they have so many aliens there that are coming up in the government that some people are saying that the UK will be the first Islamic nation to have nuclear weapons because they will take over the government of the UK and be in charge of their nuclear weapons. That's a real fact. Verse 44, he shall lend to you, you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head and you shall be the tail. And isn't that what is happening? Yes, indeed. And all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because, here's the cause, you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes as he commanded you. And they shall be on you for a sign and wonder and on your seed for ever. That's what's happening today, right now. Right in front of our very eyes. Everything that there is. Verse 47. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Haven't we had abundance of all things? Go to any any shopping mall, go into any store, look at any of the hundreds of catalogs of hundreds and thousands of businesses, of everything that we have. Therefore you shall serve your enemies, which the Lord shall send against you, in hunger and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he will put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he has destroyed you. That's the future of America, unless the people begin to repent and come back to God. Now, there is a little hope, because Louisiana, Oklahoma, and Tennessee have all come back to God in a certain way. Louisiana posting the Ten Commandments in the school and having them read. Tennessee setting aside July as a month of prayer and fasting. And Oklahoma to have the Bible read in the public school.
Just weeks after Louisiana law mandated the display of the Ten Commandments in classrooms, Oklahoma is now requiring the Bible's inclusion in lesson plans, not only in studying history or comparative religions, but, quote, ensuring our students grasp the core values and historical context of our country.
Now that's a start, but that should happen nationwide. So on an individual level, what do you need to do? Let's come back here to Acts, the second chapter. And as we're coming back to Acts, the second chapter, I want you to make note of this. You write in for all of our baptism material. You go on Church at Home and look up all the things concerning repentance and concerning what you need to do and prepare for baptism, because unless you repent and are baptized and receive the Holy Spirit of God, you're never going to get things straightened out. See, that's just a living law, like gravity. You can't defy the law of gravity and exist. You can't defy the laws of God and exist. Yes, Jesus came and he died for our sins. That's true. And they say that all the time, but they don't tell you what our sins are. Our sins are breaking the Ten Commandments. Our sins are living in opposition to God's word. When Peter, on the day of Pentecost, declared to all the Jews at the temple there, the same temple that Jesus said all the religious leaders were serving Satan the devil, and they killed Christ. Yes, he died for the sins of the whole world, and he was God manifested in the flesh. No other sacrifice can do. No other thing can justify you with God. Huh? But you have to come to him and repent. Acts 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know with full assurance that God has made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, think of this. Because he died for your sins, you helped kill Christ. But since he created all human beings, his sacrifice can cover all sins of all those who repent. But you have to repent. You have to have a conviction of heart, a conviction of mind, and a willingness to love and obey God. Here's what happened. After hearing this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" All right, you ask the question of yourself, what should you do? All right, here it is, right here. Peter said to them, repent. And that means look at your life, look at your sins, examine it by the Ten Commandments, examine it by the Word of God, and confess your sins directly to God. Now, we have elders who will come and baptize you. But you need to do this on your own, repent. You get our book, Lord, What Should I Do? You get our information on All About Water Baptism. You get our book on Apostle Paul's teachings on God's law. You need it because Orthodox Christianity says the law has been done away. or Paul did away with the law, or the church had changed the Sabbath to Sunday. No, this book will show you the truth from the Bible. Are you willing to look at the truth? We will send this book to you at no cost. Just email us, write us, or phone the office. Repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you yourselves shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what you need. You need the Holy Spirit of God in you. Okay? Now let's see what else Jesus said about that. Okay? Because for those who repent and come to God His way, there is a way out. Let's come to John 14. Let's see what Jesus said. Now, you probably heard that Jesus did away with the law. He did not. He specifically said in Matthew 5:17, I did not come to abolish the law or the prophets. I came to fulfill, which means he came to make the law complete, spiritually applicable in every instant, how it is in our minds and so forth. Here, John 14, verse 15. Now, I want you to think on this, because how many times have people heard, God's love is unconditional? That's not true. God's love is everlasting. But God's love is conditional based upon you coming to God His way and based upon your keeping of His commandments. Notice what Jesus said. If you love me, that's the thing most people miss. They want the love of God, but do they love God back? God wants you to love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. If you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandment. Now think about this, since He was God manifested in the flesh, that includes all the commandments in the Old Testament that apply to our lives. Yes, the temple commandments and the sacrificial commandments were replaced with the higher standard of the temple in heaven above to God the Father and Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But the commandments of God for our living and everything like that are still there. And then He says that He would send the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the truth, and that's what you need. He says, verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that it may be with you throughout the age. And there's another thing you need. You need our book, the Holy Spirit, the power of God. It's not a trinity. That's one of the biggest lies that there is. And if you believe in a trinity, you have been hooked into a great deception. It's the power of God, not a third God. He says, even a spirit of truth which the world cannot receive. No, because they won't repent, and they don't perceive it or know it, but you know it because it dwells with you and shall be within you. And then He comes up here, verse 21. Now listen to this carefully. I want you to really grasp and understand this, and I want you to ask yourself, what are you doing? What are you doing? Believing. Verse 21, the one who has my commandments and is keeping them. That means, goes right back to where we started, what Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Are these the words of God in the flesh? Yes, Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. And is keeping them. Do you do them? Do you have idols in your house? Do you have other gods? Do you take God's name in vain? And the fourth one, which says, remember the seventh day, the Sabbath, to keep it holy. Now, Seventh-day Adventists remember that, but that's about all they have. Okay, there's much more to it. He says here, the one who has my commandments and is keeping them, that is the one who loves me. and the one who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Notice, it is if you want the love of God, you come to God his way. You want the truth of God, you believe in his word because it is true. So then, Jesus repeated it again in verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And that is everything that he has said. Old Testament and New Testament that apply to our living. He will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we. Now, the Holy Spirit has two aspects to it. The begettal by God the Father to become a son or daughter of God, and the Spirit of Christ to have the mind of Christ so you can develop the character that you need in keeping the commandments of God. We will come to him and make our abode with him. That is, God dwelling in our minds. We have a spirit of man now before we receive the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God comes and unites with the spirit of man, that is called in the New Testament the begettal of the Holy Spirit. Now, notice what else he said, and I want you to evaluate in your life what you are doing or not doing. Verse 24, the one who does not love me does not keep my words. Now, think about that. You go to all the Sunday keepers, Catholic, Protestant, they go to the churches or the cathedrals, and they want the love of God to them. But they don't keep his commandments, and they don't love God in the way that he says you need to love him. The one who does not love me does not keep my words, every word of Christ. And he said, concerning the Sabbath day, as we have covered recently, that he is Lord of the Sabbath day, not the Pope. He can't change it. Men can't change it. Councils of men can't change it. There's the Sabbath. There's the holy days. There's living by every word of God. Now notice, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Now, think of this. If you don't keep the commandments of God, now it's by grace that you keep them. Remember this. If you belong to Christ and have his Spirit, you live within law. Living under law means you are under the penalty of law because you are sinning, not because you are keeping the commandments of God. You're living within law and have a relation with God. See, we have all of these lies around us everywhere, and the only way you come out of it is you come to God his way in repentance, and you read and study the Bible, and we have so many things that you can have. You go online to truthofgod.org, and you will see we have hundreds and hundreds of things for you to study, for you to learn, strictly from the Bible, the things that are of God. And that's what's important today. We're living in a world that is being taken over by Satan, the devil, and every evil and every false governmental thing and every lies from the pulpit and from the synagogues and from the cathedrals. God is just wiping his hands clean of it. So we have to come to God his way. And this is the message for today. That's how you come out from underneath the avalanche and web of lies that is enveloping the whole world. And you come to God his way, with his truth, with his love, and your love of God, and your life will be changed. And that is called conversion. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.